Are you looking to sell your property without all the usual headaches associated with traditional property sales? Maybe you're looking for a straightforward, hassle-free, quick sale. We've got you covered at G67 Home Buyers. Ditch the stress of endless viewings, the waiting game with property chains, and the buyers missing deadlines. No matter the condition or location of your property, we're ready to buy. And guess what? We'll give you an instant cash offer, no traditional hoops to jump through.
We get it. Sometimes you just need to sell fast. And we're here to make that happen. We'll often be able to buy in just a few days. You no longer need to worry about the sale falling through after weeks or months. We have buyers ready now.
We handle everything for you, even paying your legal fees, and there is no hidden fees or estate agent commissions to pay. Just a smooth, easy sale with us by your side, helping you every step of the way. I am David Smith, and I will personally help you find a hassle-free solution to selling your property fast, beginning with a free, no-obligation cash offer for your property. Remember, I am here to help, so get in touch in the link below and let's chat.
Welcome to Social Sessions. In this intriguing episode of Social Sessions, we embark on a thought-provoking exploration of the psychic realm with the esteemed Carol McGee. Join us as we delve into Carol's personal journey, from her upbringing to her discovery of psychic abilities, while also examining the intersection of psychic phenomenon with religion and social expectations. From understanding vibration levels to the role of tarot cards, Carol sheds light on how individuals can embrace their intuitive gifts while navigating religious beliefs and societal norms. Welcome to Social Sessions, Carol. How are you doing?
Thanks very much, Sean.
So I'll just do what I kind of do with everybody, right? I just kind of take everybody back to their kind of upbringing and stuff like that. So where was it? Was it Glasgow or was it kind of Paisley you were?
No, I was brought up in Dintoker, which is a small village right outside Clydebank. So I was born and brought up in Dintoker.
So what was it like? Obviously, this we psychic and all that, and we all kind of see different shows and we see different people and stuff. So what was it like kind of being young and kind of realising that you had this ability?
Well, that's the thing, I didn't realise. I just thought it was normal. You know, as a child, I used to see things, or I used to see spirit in my bedroom. I used to see people walking through my bedroom and I was scared. And I just thought that was something that everybody saw. Aye. Because nobody ever said that it wasn't normal.
That's not something you get taught at school, is it?
No, it's not really. But I mean, this was happening to me before I went to school.
Aye.
And so, you know, I always felt I was an adult in a child's body.
Aye.
Right, so in my house, I always felt as if I was the mammy.
Aye.
And that my mum and dad, how could they be telling me what to do and I know better?
Aye.
Do you know what
aye,
I mean? And so I always had that kind of outlook, but I always saw spirit as a child, and sometimes I used to see things, and like if I was lying in my bed and I saw somebody walking through my bedroom as a child, I used to lie in my bed and try not to breathe, because back in the days we never had central heating.
Aye.
So if it was a winter, you would see your breath.
Aye.
And so I would like, oh, kid on your sleeping and kid on your no breathing, maybe they'll just walk by and no see you. And so I used to be shit scared.
Aye.
As a child. And so, but I've always believed in God.
Aye.
I was brought up a Protestant.
Aye.
One grand's a Catholic, the other one's Protestant. It was all mixed company. Aye. There was Celtic supporters, Rangers supporters. My mum was a born again Christian. I've been to every Pentecostal, tambourine wielding church in the west of Scotland. But I always thought it was normal. And so I used to say things to my mum, and she would be like, I know that's not right.
Aye.
You know, and I thought, what do you mean it's not right? And she's like, oh, you can't be seeing that. I don't know what you mean, you know. And so therefore, I then started thinking to myself, how am I seeing that? And they're no. How mm-hmm. do I know that? And they don't. And it's weird because I always, even as a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old, is my kind of earliest memories. Mm-hmm. Maybe very limited at 3-year-old. But as
which
a five,
is young, Carol, isn't it? It's obviously aye, young, aye.
Aye, but as a 3-year-old, the earliest memory I have of interacting with intuition is my only memory from about the age of 3, and it's always stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of what it is.
It's a powerful thing, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, I had a wee pink pram, and I think as a wee girl, that pink pram would have just been my world at that time. Aye. When I got it, you know. And I had says to my mum, you need to take that pink pram in.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the garden. I says, the bin man's going to steal it. And she says, don't be daft. The bin man's not going to steal your pram. I says, he's going to steal my pram. I says, you need to take it in. She says, he won't. Just leave it there. It's probably all mucky off the grass.
Aye.
Or something.
Who's
like that.
Who's going to steal a
pink? Who's going to steal it? Probably a £5 or £10 cheap plastic pram, right?
Aye.
And got up in the morning, it wasn't there.
It was off.
It was off. And I says, bin man stole it. And she says, I can't ask the bin man if he stole your pram.
But you just knew.
I just knew. And so some bin man in Claybanks stole my pram, Sean. I want it back.
Aye, get it back. If you're watching this, get it back. Yeah. So obviously going into your kind of school years and stuff mm-hmm. like that, how did it kind of set you up in school? Like obviously with relationships, with like even just classmates and just different things. Was it, did you feel different?
I never, because I still didn't realise at that time that that was the normal.
Aye.
You know, I didn't realise that people didn't have sent, you know, didn't have intuition like me. I could tell when people was lying, you know, I could tell when somebody was bullshitting me, you know, like that. Sometimes I knew it was coming next. No, always, but sometimes.
Aye.
And I just always thought that was normal.
Aye.
And you know, even at that age, I always felt an adult. I mean, at the age of 8 and 10, I was cooking dinners, doing washings back in the days when it was a twin tub. You'll know that, Sean, you know what I mean?
Still got one,
I was going to say that. But I, back in the day, like, I used to cook and clean and do everything. And so see, when I went into high school, and by this time I was 12 when I went into first year, and we were in cooking class. You remember cooking class?
Aye, cooking class.
And you probably
rock cookies or something you used to get?
Did you maybe yours were, but mine were fluffy, right? And so I used to get in cooking. The teacher, the first time I realised that I wasn't normal, the teacher says, put your hands up if you've ever cooked before. Like, if you've ever cooked anything on a cooker, and I'm like that. And I think there was two other people in the whole class, and I couldn't get my head around this. I'm like, I'm cooking Sunday dinners and everything. So she says to one of the boys, she says, what have you cooked? And he's like, toast and cheese. And she's like, what have you cooked? And I'm like, cakes, tablet, chicken dinners, soup, puddings, you name it, I've cooked it. And she's looking at me as if to say, is she for real?
Aye.
You know what I mean? And so I've done a lot, and I always felt like an adult, you know.
Was that like, obviously your parents and stuff like that, were they just obviously kind of letting you just be the way you were and kind of trying to get you down that road of being a kind of independent person, or was it just something that you kind of took on yourself?
I've never really thought about it, but I think being the oldest in the house, you know, with two other siblings, aye. I think you're expected to do things, you know, like you can go and hoover that floor because your brother's too wee,
aye.
You know, you can go and make the Sunday dinner because your dad's hungover. Look, my dad was a drinker, wasn't he? But you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
And so there was all the kind of things, and so I think the oldest is expected to do a lot more,
aye.
Than the youngest gets halfway murdered and the middle one just does what he likes, and that was kind of the setup in our house,
aye.
If that makes sense. And so did they let me, do you know, I think they did, Sean.
Aye.
I think they gave me the freedom to be what I wanted to be, do what I wanted to do. I always done my homework and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Sunday school with my gran every Sunday, right?
Aye.
And I was never asked to go. What by that I mean, aye. My mum and dad never says to me, you're going to church, because they didn't go to church. My dad never, aye. Went to church. I loved to go to Sunday school, you know, as a kid, because I totally always believed in God.
Aye.
But I'm no religious.
No, I know what you mean. I think we've obviously had people on before, like talking about the kind of spiritual stuff, and I think when you get down to the kind of that you go down the path, you see that I call it source, I know you call it spirit, but it's all the same thing. Do you know
it's
what
the
I mean?
Same thing.
And listen, anybody that's watching and it's religious, I've got absolutely nothing. That's their way of finding the God and stuff like that. And that's their journey. Do you know what I mean? But my like path down is kind of similar to yours. So did you kind of go through the religious stages, but Carol, did you go through them? Or like, obviously you were brought up Protestant, but did you go to church and kind of...
I didn't. As a teenager, no, even as a teenager, I'll say somewhere between the age of 10 and 13,
mm-hmm.
my mum was a born-again Christian, and so if she was going to church, so was I.
Aye.
You know, if my dad wasn't in the house, we were going to church because we couldn't be left.
Aye.
But in saying that, I was left. But I chose to go with her at times. And so that's what I mean by I was in maybe born again Christian churches, mm-hmm. maybe things like Pentecostal, the Elam, all different kind of churches, Church of Scotland. You know, I've been to quite a few. I always just sit and listened. I like to listen to the stories,
mm-hmm.
maybe the stories that come out of the Bible, and some of them are fascinating.
Definitely.
But I was never big into this, you know, the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. You know, you can't do this and you can't do that. Aye. I was never into any of that because I think people should be free to believe in whatever religion, to love whoever they want. You know, to me, it's your own journey and we each have our own journey. So I have friends who are gay, straight, bi, black, white, green, born again Christians, Catholics, millionaires, paupers, and just a whole array.
A mixed bag.
And I love it.
I think that's obviously when you're trying to, you get a lot of religions. The thing with me with religion, and again, absolutely everybody, if it's for you, it's for you. But it's kind of pushed on you. Do you know what I mean? And I think when you find source and you find spirit, whatever you want to call it, it is freeing. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's something that guides you. So can you remember that, like, obviously we've spoken a wee bit before, Carol, but can you remember the first time you realised that you were kind of getting guided?
Absolutely. Aye. So I think there's a saying, I don't know if it's called the night of the soul or something like that, or is it destruction of the soul or the night of soul? Well, you know how sometimes we all go through maybe traumatic things within our lives? So my brother died and he was only about 33. And so that was a massive awakening for me. It was like, oh my God, he's 33. He's never been abroad. He's never been in the holidays that I go and things like that. And it's like, that really hurt me like a ton of bricks. Like, life's far too short. And so up until about that point, I wasn't the kind of person that would get up and sing in a karaoke and stuff like that. And see, once my brother died, I was like, fuck it, geez a mic. Do you get me? And I was like, if I make an ass of myself, I don't really care. I'm going to try this, right? Because my dad has always told me that I was a rubbish singer. And believe it or not, I ended up singing for a living.
Aye.
So I found my voice.
Aye.
Right? And what started for me, it was just like a process. I was getting wakened up at 3:07 a.m. every morning, like somebody chapping on the side of my bed. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? What's happening here in my graphite? And then I would hear somebody hitting the window, and we had a townhouse at the time and my bedroom was in the middle floor. And I would hear like the phone ringing.
Aye.
And I would run down the stair at 3:07. I'd look at the clock, it was 3:07. I'm like, on the way. And I'd run down the stair because the phone was down the stair. And I'd lift the phone, and it was just do there, right? So day 1471 to see who's phoned you. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, is my dad all right? You know, who phoned you at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Of course,
in case there's something. You're automatically, definitely, your instinct says there must be something up. Somebody's phoning you at 3 a.m. And so I'd done 1471, and it's like, you were called yesterday at 1420. And I'm like, no way. That phone definitely rang. And then another time I heard as if there was a police at the door. And I'm like, oh no.
No,
obviously. No, what's Sean done, you know? And so I would run down the stair and I opened the door expecting to be a cop or something there because of the chap, right? And there was nobody there. And this was 3:07 a.m. And so eventually this went on for a couple of months, and eventually I thought, well, what do you want? Who is it? Who's chapping my door? Who's chapping my bed? You could hear it, like, for me, I could hear it just loudly. And I got this kind of inner thoughts telling me, we want you to work for us. And I says, I can't, I'm too busy. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm far too busy. I can't work for you. And at that time, I started having extremely vivid dreams, right? Where I'd get taken away places and shown things. And I just thought, what in God's name is happening to me? And I had met this other being, mostly. I feel it was an angel, right? And I believe in angels because I've seen them from when I was a child. And so this being came, and she is like that to me at the time. Here's a gift for you. And I'm like, a gift? And she's handing me this baton of light. And I says, a gift? I says, what am I supposed to do with this? And she's like, well, you asked for it. I said, I never asked for anything. She's like, you did, take it. And then she was like speaking to me telepathically. And so I took this gift, no knowing what it was. And so at that time, there was a new spiritualist church opening up in Johnston. And I had met the people that were running it previously, and you know, it's like synchronicity, things are falling in.
Carol Young.
Things are falling in like week after week after week. So all this was happening at the same time. So this new church opened up, and I went along, and I had said to the girl at the end of the church I was speaking to her, and I said, you know, I'm having really vivid dreams. I'm getting wakened up at 3 a.m. There's lots of shit happening in my house, and what's happening to me? And they couldn't tell me, right? Nobody knew. Nobody could give me an answer. And, you know, with insight, looking back, that's the best thing that could have happened.
Because you need to delve.
Because I had to find the answers myself. And so I started reading a book. And then when I was reading the book, it was maybe recommending another book. And then so I'd read that other book. And I was devouring about 3 books a week. And that's how I ended up learning what I do.
With understanding the kind of what you've got now is... we've obviously spoken, you've got a really good understanding of a lot of stuff, and I spoke to you before about how I read the Celestine Prophecy. That's my first book.
All right, okay.
I absolutely loved it. And that kind of took me on the same similar journey in the way that you start reading books. Probably not read anywhere near as much as you, but you do start reading Carl Jung and people like Eckhart Tolle and all the different kind of people, you know what I mean? But so when you're obviously starting to... You're obviously probably bumping into people who are similar to Carol Wright and have got psychic abilities and stuff like that. How can anybody tap into that psyche, or is it a gift?
Well, it's like if I was a piano teacher, I could teach you how to play the piano. I could probably get you up to a really good standard, but you'd never be Liberace.
Aye.
And so I think you're born with it. I never used to think that. You know, I'm open to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still open to changing my beliefs.
Aye.
I mean, there's things that might be happening that I've got it wrong, and so I'm open to change. If you can prove to me what you're saying is correct,
aye,
and so I can probably get you up to a good standard, but you're either born to be a good medium or not, but I can teach you psychic, how to work with your psychic, how to develop your psychic abilities. I can show you that so that your intuition develops. So everybody can develop their intuition.
Mm-hmm.
But tapping into the spirit side of it, where you're talking to people that are souls that's passed over, I think you're born to be a medium or not. It's no... I can tell you how to do it, but you may not have the same standard of mediumship as people who are well-known, developed at the top of their game. So in other words, you'll probably batter out a good tune, but it won't flow the same. And that's how I see mediumship. But psychic abilities, I can show you how to develop your psychic abilities, no problem. And I learned to connect with spirit playing poker.
Was it?
Playing poker. Did I tell you that? I know we had a wee talk. But wait to hear this for a story. So wait to hear this for a story. So I was thinking up ways, because I'm predominantly self-taught in what I do, right? Which is good, because it means I've no got anybody's bad habits. It's like having a driving instructor and you're learning their bad habits or not.
Is there people out there kind of way kind of bad habits, or even maybe...
You know, or they get into such a rut. I can tell who's taught people just by speaking to them. I can hear their teacher's words coming out their mouth. Do you know what I mean? A bit like religion as well.
Of course. No.
And so where poker's concerned, I was thinking about ways about how to connect with spirit. And so into myself, I'm thinking spirit, right? If the answer's yes, I want to feel you in my left hand, so I would feel my left hand pulsating. And if the answer's no, I want to feel you in my right hand.
Aye.
And so that's how I learned to develop my intuition, like my left hand and my right hand was yes and no and stuff like that. And that's how I started off in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was playing Texas Hold'em poker online, to such a good standard. I was in the Super Leagues.
Oh, were you?
I was millions of pounds in virtual cash, And I was playing £1 million hands at a time. And I'm like, Spirit, I'm going to win. No, I'm going to win. Can you imagine if somebody's in your ear saying to you, Carol, you're going to win this? And so I would say it's all guys I was playing.
Aye.
Very rarely was it a woman. You might get one woman or something or the odd. I was probably sitting at a table with like half a dozen guys playing in this Super League, right?
Aye.
And it's like beating them all hands down, you know? And so I got up one morning, I thought, that's it, mastered it, finished. And I never played again.
And that was you done?
That was me done. Because I've probably got quite an addictive nature. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to sit and play poker continuously in case I ever started playing with real money.
Of course.
But no, every now and again, I go up to the casino. Last time I was there, I won $2,000.
Get a wee shuffle.
I did, I.
So, see, like, then when we're talking about, obviously you've got skeptics and stuff, Carol, uh-huh. right? And you get people that say, but as somebody who's quite esteemed and well-known in Scotland and stuff, are you able to kind of say, is there people maybe that even think they've got abilities, if that makes sense, and maybe think they've got mediumship and they're being truthful with what they're saying, but they're actually no right, if you know, if that makes sense?
Yeah, Sean, there is.
Aye.
So it's like, you know, there's sometimes I've went to see other mediums work, know everybody, because there is some great mediums out there, mm-hmm. I've got to say that, but there's some that are either faking it or they think that what they're saying is correct, and I would beg to differ. Mm-hmm. You know, where you can tell is like consistency, mm-hmm. right? So you're no medium, right? Mm-hmm. So if I take you to Partick right now and put you in the middle of a pub and tell you to do a show, you're going to fall flat on your face. It's like you'd be stuttering, you'd be like, oh, you'd maybe go to an old guy and go like, oh, your dad's here, you would be right because the guy's about 76. So you would maybe get that right, but you know, how did he die? What was his name? What age was he? You know, who's he in spirit mm-hmm. with? These are all things that I would want to know. So if you're looking at how people work, I look for the evidence. It's as simple as that. Sometimes people put on a good show. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they put on a good show, like, ta-da, here I'm here.
Aye.
And it's like, where's the evidence? Mm-hmm. So if I'm speaking to you, I want to say, your dad's here, here's his name, you know, here's how he died with lung cancer, you know, I've got a man here with half a leg, mm-hmm. you know, so it's all evidence.
Aye.
And so evidence, for me, I would be looking for at least 4 bits of evidence.
Well, I can obviously testify, I got a great reading off you.
Thanks very much.
And it was like 95% of it, right? But what, even just for the skeptics, and I totally believe Carol, right? But for the skeptics, see the wee 5% that you do get wrong, how does that come about? Is that just like, how's it confusing? Or?
It could also be the way that I've interpreted it, mm-hmm. right?
Or something I don't know, maybe.
It could be something mm-hmm. you don't know. And it could also be something that's no happened yet, or something that's just about to happen. You know, by the way, no medium's 100% accurate.
No.
If you're telling me I've got 95%, I'm happy with that.
Definitely.
And so, like, I'll jump for joy. Because even the best mediums in the world are never 100% accurate.
I've never had that.
I mean, even a doctor is never 100% accurate. Mm-hmm. Or a nurse, or somebody doing podcasts, or anybody, you know?
Definitely.
And so we all make mistakes, you mm-hmm. know? And so I strive to be as best I can. Mm-hmm. I strive to have a good percentage. You know, if I'm doing a live show, and you can come to my live show if I'm doing a live show, I expect the majority of that to be accurate. Mm-hmm. So if I go to 20 people with a message that night, I want 18 to be bang on the money. 2, I might get wrong because it could be my interpretation, or it could be they don't realise what I'm saying, or there could be different reasons for it, you know. But I would, my mission is to strive to get 20 out of 20.
I think anybody that goes to mediums, I think, is probably guilty of this in the way that I want you to tell me what I want to hear. Right, and so if I don't hear that, or I hear something else, then it's no what I wanted to hear. So it's a bad reading, if that makes sense. And I get that. I understand why somebody would want that. It's like, I always want my grannies to come through, and if they don't, it's like, when it's the person could be right about everything else, but because your grannies don't come through, it's like, that's no,
that's
the eye. But my granny did come through, right and everything. Right, you know what I mean? So, as I say, it's just like, you just probably, in my head, I go, I know what my granny, in the exact way you said, this is the strongest one that's coming through. Like, she's here and she's basically coming to talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And the way that was the way I would expect my granny to come through.
Well, and I want to, I can say what I like, but during a show, I would be more mindful of what I'm saying. And so a one-to-one should be more personal. But the other thing is, you know, even in a one-to-one, if I'm not getting it 100% right, or there's somebody or something you want to know, at the end I'll say, Sean, what do I ask me?
Aye.
And that then gives you the opportunity to say, well, obviously it's no in my case because I did bring her through. But at the end, if I hadn't had brought your gran through, then you could have said to me, I wanted to hear from my granny the night. And I would say, right, I'll try. Don't tell me anything. Don't tell me her name. Don't tell me when she died. Tell me nothing. And then we'll see what happens, you know. And then I will try. I will ask Spirit to bring her through. It's not, you know, it's a bit of a taboo subject. Because some people will say to me, well, is that no conjuring up the dead? How can you conjure up the dead? And I say, it's no conjuring up the dead. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get. So let's be asking, you know. And so I can ask for anybody to be brought through, but it doesn't mean to say they're coming, you know. And so if I ask for that person to come through, I need to have the evidence that it is that person. So if you say to me, well, you've not brought through my granny, going to bring through my granny, and I'll say, right, Sean, don't say a word, not bring through your granny. I'll say, and in my mind, I'm saying to Spirit, can we have his granny really wants a message? That would be appreciated, you know, because I always appreciate what I get.
Of course.
And so they would then bring through your gran, and she would come in, and I would say, well, here's your gran, she's got glasses on, her name's this, here's how she died. Is that correct? And then you would say, aye, that's my granny. So if I then brought through a woman and says, oh, this is a wee quiet woman, you know, she's about 6 foot tall, a wee quiet woman, she's about 6 foot tall, skinny, really, really quiet, you'd be like, no, my granny.
That's not her.
That's not her. And so just say no, and don't be scared to say no. No's are brilliant, you know. You know, that may sound strange, but my pal always says to me, how can you say you love no's? Because I do, right? Because it makes me work harder. Does that make sense? If you're saying to me no, then I'm going back and I'm saying to Spirit, this isn't correct, you need to give me something else. So it makes me work harder. But also it proves that I'm not reading you psychically.
Aye, I know what you mean.
You know, so some of my best messages has been from people that said no. And so I done a show in Claybank Town Hall one night, and I says to a girl, you know, you've got a silver locket in a box in your house that belongs to your mum. She went, I don't.
Aye.
And I says, your mum's showing me a silver locket, and inside that locket there's hair belonging to your gran. And she's like, ah, I've never seen it in my life, I don't know what you're talking about. And so people at that show might be thinking, she's got that ring.
She's talking shite,
the usual shite next. You know what I mean? But that girl sent in her cousin the next day, and they come in and she says to me, just to let you know that my cousin went home last night and found that box, and inside it was a silver locket with hair in it. How good is that?
No, it's,
that could only come from another source, because I couldn't be reading her psychically, because she does no knowledge of that locket, right? So do you get me why I'm saying the no's are good?
Aye.
Because you've got to go back. There was another boy, and I was in a show in Maryhill, and I think the boy was working in the pub, I can't remember. So I gave him a message, and I had says whatever I said, and brought through a load of people. I says, and your Uncle Frank's here. He says, I don't have an Uncle Frank. And I remember the name. Do you know, I never remember my messages. I couldn't tell you what I says to you the other night, but I remember that. I think if it's a lesson, I remember it, right? So he says, I don't have an Uncle Frank. And I says, well, he died when he was young. I says, all right, he was really young. I says, he just gives me the name Frank Francis. He went, no. And then he messaged me. So by the time I get home for the pub and get in the house, this boy had messaged me. I know his name's John, but I can't tell you. He probably watches, right? He's on my socials. And so he had messaged me, and he's like, oh my God, Carol. He says, I went home, phoned my dad, and went, I get a message off this psychic. He says, and everything she says to me was bang on the money, really good, you know, 100% accurate. She only got one thing wrong, and his dad says to him, what did she get wrong? Told me that Uncle Frank and Spirit, and I says, I've not got an Uncle Frank. And his dad turned around and says, I had a brother Frank that died.
God, I know.
And he says, how do I know this? He says, it's not something to talk about.
It's mental, isn't it?
Mad, isn't it?
Definitely.
And so that just proves that I'm not reading his mind. And so that's what I mean by the no's are good.
Aye.
You know, and so I see it as a challenge.
Definitely.
Right? And I also see skeptics as a challenge. Being a skeptic is healthy.
Of course.
I'm a skeptic. You know, if I go and see other mediums, I'm not believing a word you say until you prove to me.
Aye.
But you feel it anyway, you know? So you need to prove to me that what you're saying is correct. if you say to me, my granny's coming through and she's 6 foot and was a quiet woman, I'm like, no, my granny.
Aye, you know
what I mean?
Definitely.
So we all know, you know, some people don't know their grannies or, but we want, basically, the people we want to hear from is the people we know that are closest to us. And so we know their character.
Aye.
Right? So if I'm bringing through your auntie that's passed and I'm saying, oh, she's dancing over that table and she's like lifting up her skirt and giving it yee-haw, and you'd be like, oh, you're joking, man. My auntie wouldn't even touch her drink. She went to church every Sunday, you know, so that wouldn't be your auntie.
Aye.
So I need to prove to you that it's your auntie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's her name? What's her character? What was her personality like? And so that's the things that I predominantly ask for, because that's the proof, mm-hmm. right? That's the proof of who I'm bringing forward. And also, proof is also the things they've seen since they've came back. So your gran might come back. I don't know what I say, Sean. I can't remember, Sean, right? But your gran might come back and say, do you know what, Sean, I'm dead proud of you. You're doing well. I've seen you're doing all right. I've seen you've got this other wind coming, you know. It's like, buy yourself a bigger telly, whatever the case may be. And so she'll tell me that she's seen all this, or there may be things that I tell you that she's saying and you'll be like, that's right.
Aye. No, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
So that's proof as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's proof of who they've seen since they've passed over, what they've seen since they've come back. So to me, that then proves the existence of the human soul.
Mm-hmm.
That the body might die, but the soul lives on. So in other words, you're going to heaven.
I think that takes us on perfectly to my next kind of bit, is like your own spiritual beliefs, Carol, right?
Okay.
So obviously we've spoken, you call it spirit, I call it source. What is it? What do you think it is?
What do I think it is? I think we're going to a different dimension, mm-hmm. right? So I think, you know, I don't believe there's a hell. That's my own belief. I don't believe there's a hell. I know the Bible tells you there's a hell. I don't believe in hell. I think we're living this hell on earth, right?
Aye.
And so I think we're going to a better place. And, you know, I can only go by my experiences and what fits for me. And it might, other people might have different beliefs, but I believe I'm going to a better place.
Aye.
And I know this to be true because I've died twice and came back.
Mm-hmm. So you've been there.
I've been there. And so I didn't want to come back.
Aye.
And so just before my 8th birthday, I had meningitis and I had severe septicemia.
Oof.
And so I was going purple, all these purple spots and stuff like that. And I was in a coma and I died. And then I come back. So on the way, I seen the token at the time where I was brought up and they were taking me to York Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And after the doctors had been out 3 times and said I had a virus, the usual, they don't know what's up with you.
Aye.
My wee granny who's passed now, went to the doctors while she was alive. No, while she was dead, obviously. I'll be giving the doctor a job. And brought the doctor to the house for Clydebank Health Centre and says, she's not got a virus, she's ill. And probably my granny saved my life. And you know, these things are coincidentally tied into the rest of my life. So the doctor says, I think she's got meningitis, because by this time the purple spots were coming out, and says to my mum, hey, we need to get to the hospital. If we don't get to the hospital within half an hour, she's got to die. And so by the time they got me to the hospital, the doctor told my mum, I would be lucky if I woke up in a vegetative state, or they wouldn't, or maybe they would have to amputate limbs, but sometimes happens to kids. But I was lucky. But I didn't, my last memory before I went to York Hill, I'm in an ambulance. I think I told you this either. I was in an ambulance. I've got millions of stories, right? I'm in an ambulance going to the hospital, kind of lucid state, in and out of consciousness. Doctors might say it was because I was ill, but absolutely wasn't it. And there was this nurse in the ambulance with me. Nurses used to wear paper hats back in the day.
I remember that. I kind of have seen it, but
you're kidding yourself, on you? You're older than me. You've probably seen it, right? So it's like they used to wear paper hats. And there was this nurse in the ambulance and she was holding my hand. And she's like, Carol, don't worry, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I eventually came out of this coma, I was looking for this nurse who had a green stripe.
Mm-hmm.
And on her white paper hat, and I says to my mum, where's the nurse with the blonde hair and the blue eyes? My mum says, what nurse? I said, I want that nurse. I don't want that other nurse. I don't want the one with the green stripe. Mm-hmm. I said, don't want that, or the blue stripe, whatever it was. And she's like, what nurse are you talking about? I says, the one that was in the ambulance with me. She says, there was no nurse in the ambulance.
Wow.
And so I believe that was my first time seeing that being.
Mm-hmm. the person that kind of guided you and stuff like that right through your life. So see if you were to kind of, I think I'm a big believer in Tesla and stuff like that, right? I love watching him, love listening to all his stuff, and love reading about him. Obviously, he's not here anymore, but Einstein's another one. And they talk about exactly what you're talking about in the way that they would just go into lucid states and they would hold two rocks. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They'd hold two rocks.
I've not seen that, no.
And what they would do is they would, obviously, you've got alpha, theta, all the kind of different states.
I know what the rocks are for, but I've never seen it.
So that was to wake them up so that they could remember. So they would go into, they would meditate and then go. But then when they would go into that state just before you sleep, what you're talking about.
Semi-lucid, dying.
Like, I don't know, well, probably similar if you're semi-lucid, and the stones would drop and it would give them time to write down. So they would meditate on a problem. Einstein and that, see the big equations and that, they are solved. They basically said that it was somebody that taught them that. It wasn't them that came up with it. Do you know what I mean? Which is similar to what you're saying.
Right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Things like that have happened to me as well.
Have they?
Aye.
Fill us in.
There's a book called... it's just A Course in Miracles, right?
Aye.
It was wrote by a Catholic woman, and after she wrote the book, she wanted nothing to do with the book.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she dreamt this, or somebody had come through her, and she wrote this book, and it's a worldwide bestseller, mm-hmm. A Course in Miracles, right?
I've heard that.
Right, so A Course in Miracles, the first, I bought it because everybody was banging on about it. I thought, well, I'll try this next because I'm a big reader. And I had bought this book and I had started reading it. And know sometimes you read a book, you've read three chapters and you thought, I don't know what I've just read.
Aye.
Right, so I went back and I read it again. And then I read these three chapters again. I'm like, I couldn't tell you what I've just read. I just wasn't retaining it.
Aye.
And it was just like kind of beyond me at the time. Now, I'm where I am in my journey, I would understand it perfectly, right? And the book's that thick, right? Now, if a book's that thick, I'll read it, nae bother, but it's got to be taking my attention,
I know.
Right?
Aye.
And so this was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm reading these three chapters three times. Fuck that, right? And I said, like, shut the book, put it down. And I went, Spirit, I want to read that book, but I don't have the time to read that book. That's going to take me weeks to get through that. Because A Course in Miracles, about you read the first half of the book, it teaches you things, and then by the second half of the book, you become the teacher.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't understand this. I don't know what this book means, and I've not got a clue. That's it, can't be asked, right? So I had laid in my sofa in the afternoon, and in my mind I'm saying to Spirit, I don't have time to read that book. It's just far too long. I want to know what it's about. And I'm going to sleep at this point, and I'm going for a cat nap, granny nap in the afternoon. And I says to Spirit, I need to know what that book's about, but going to show me. And I went to sleep and I woke up and I knew what that book was about.
Wow.
It was just in my mind, and I went, don't need to read it anymore. That's it. And so A Course in Miracles teaches you, and so it touches on things like, if you had two rooms, like say room A and room B, and you put Sean into room A, and Sean was in room A with the delinquents, and I'm making this up, like with the delinquents and a bad family, didn't love him, and people just didn't care, and Sean was allowed to roam about, watch what he wanted on the telly, listen to whatever he wanted, folk were batting him, telling him he was useless, he wasn't loved, right? And then you put Carol into room B, and Carol was in there with a loving family, nice friends around her, people telling her she could be what she wanted to be, she was loved, she was amazing, you know, that's really good, you know, praising her, letting her do what she likes. So that's you get room A and room B. If you were then to take Sean out of room A and put him into room B, and he's in this alien environment, and I'm saying, oh Sean, that's really good, you're doing really well, you're amazing, and you're like, I'm no fucking amazing, I've been shit. People tell me I'm shit my whole life. What do you mean I'm amazing? So that's the difference between room A and room B. Course in Miracles a wee bit like that. So it's all to do with your upbringing, your environment, your peers, people around you. Sorry.
That's all right.
And so that's what A Course in Miracles teaches us. So then... throat. Sorry. So then...
You'll be better water, Karen.
I know. Right, okay.
Your mouth goes dead dry when you're talking for ages, isn't it?
No, I'm just it. So, Right. So A Course in Miracles teaches us that, so if we've just taken Sean out of room A and put him into room B and it's totally ailing to Sean, he doesn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how to react. How can I go and do these nice things, and how can I tell these people I love them? I don't know what it's like to tell somebody I love them, mm-hmm. you know? And so everything they do is totally alien to you. So then maybe you might be playing up in that room and going like, ah, fuck off, I'm not doing that. Why should I do that? Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, it's all right, Sean, we'll show you how, right?
Aye, aye.
So then do you then say Sean's a bad person?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the fact that Sean was brought up in room A that's led him to be like that?
It's really interesting because we speak a lot and we've had a lot of stuff, and it's obviously good to see it coming from like that point of view, because obviously it's in other ways we speak about Gab and Matty quite a lot on here. We speak about like trauma and stuff like that, and that all kind of circles in with the same kind of
it does.
I always say it, like the upbringing of people, especially when they go to prison and stuff like that, 99% of the prisoners have got a background story that would horrify most people.
I know.
So you're totally right, Carol. I totally uh-huh. agree with you. And I think
so. Therefore, do we put the blame on the person
mm-hmm.
or on the person's past or their mm-hmm. past life and how they've brought that person up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're bringing somebody up from a child to be a born again Christian,
mm-hmm.
and then you take that born again Christian and put them into room B with atheists,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, what are you talking about? There's no God.
Aye.
Like, what do you mean there's no God? There is a God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, because I was brought up with a born again Christian, my mum never ever hounded me with religion and told me to believe what she believed. But if my mum was alive today, she would be absolutely mortified with what I do, because I talk to spirits and that's the devil's work. Aye. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I had to then maybe retrain my brain, but mm-hmm. I've always been the person that's asked, but how?
Aye. Why?
You know, I remember that my mum had a pastor or somebody in the house, and these women were sitting having cups of tea and biscuits or something like that, and they're all talking about the Bible, like a wee Bible study group. And then I was just sitting there listening, because you were warned, just sit and listen. If you're here, don't say a word, right?
Aye.
Why can't I just sit there and no say a word? So I remember these people having a conversation, and this pastor is talking about, oh yes, the ark from the Bible. You know,
aye.
The ark?
Aye, Noah's ark, aye.
So I was probably about 12 year old or something at the time, and Noah's ark, aye. He's like, oh yes, the ark was found in Mount Olive, where it says in the Bible it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I must have shot my look. And I'm like, the ark was found. And my mum's looked at me like that, because, like, no, here she goes, right? So I'm like, excuse me. And he says, uh-huh. I says, the ark was found. And he went, uh-huh. I says, where? He's like, oh, it was found on Mount Olive or whatever the Bible says. And I went, well, how do I know that? You know, I went to Sunday school as a way. I went to school in religious studies. How's nobody ever told me the ark's been found? I mean, you've had 100 stories all through your childhood about Noah and all these animals going on this big ship. I says, but not once has anybody ever told me that the ark was found. And he then went on to discuss it. And I've since Googled it and researched it. And apparently it's been found. How do you right? know that? Oh, it's true. It's true.
It was found where they say it was found.
Like, it was like the mountain defrosted mm-hmm. more than usual one year, and the ark was found, or what they reckon to be the ark has been found on Mount Vesusa. I can't remember if it's something like that. Aye. And so it was found, and I'm thinking, this guy's talking shit. How can he find it?
Aye.
How can the ark be found and I don't know about this? Aye. You know, because the first... As a child, one of the first Bible stories any of us get taught is about Noah's Ark, and comes two wee cuddly
cartoons, not about
tigers, not that. Do you know what I mean? Aye. And I'm like, nobody's ever told me it's been found. And
take me.
You know, where is it? Is lion still there? You know, it's like, wow, that was a wow moment,
definitely.
Right? And so, it's been found.
So see, like, in your practice and stuff, Carol, is like meditation and all that really important in the way to obviously clear your mind of the clutter of everyday life? I call it like societal norms, right? And I call it like the way that we're all kind of programmed in society. And to me, I don't think it's right. I don't think if you look back a couple hundred years ago, I don't think we're built to take on what we're taking on now. I don't think our brains, I think that's why we've got so much mental health problems, I think, and so much addiction in that, is because I don't think we're really built for this, the way it's all planned out, and the kind of mortgages and the bills and the kind of all the stuff that we're taught, and we're taught a different set of skills in school, do you know what I mean? And we're kind of conditioned as a young person. So see, trying to free yourself of that, you do need to meditate, you need to get yourself on a different vibration. So is that really important when you're doing your shows?
You know, it should be, right? I should probably be meditating more than what I do. And funnily enough, this week, I've started meditating more than what I normally do. But I used to meditate a lot in the past. I think I got to a certain stage and I was like, oh, I don't really need to meditate that much. I just need to walk in and switch my consciousness. And that's what I do, right? But this week, more than ever, I've started back to it, right? And it's not because my mind's cluttered, because I'm really disciplined in my mind. It's because I'm getting right into quantum physics.
Oh, I love it.
Right?
Don't know anything about it, but I love it.
I'm getting right into quantum physics and channeling and traveling and stuff like that.
Astral projection and all that.
I've done for years, right? Mm-hmm. I've done the astral projection, but now I'm getting into quantum physics, which is a full different ball game. Mm-hmm. Astral projection, I have astral travelled places around the world at a specific time, and I've heard people talking, what they've been saying and what that conversation is, right? Aye. I kept most of it to myself, and then I repeated it to a couple of people, and they're like, oh my God, that's what gets said, right? Aye. And so that's what happened. But now I'm getting into quantum physics, as in I can go into a different realm and learn how to, what this book is, or learn how to play the piano, or learn something else. And so I'm playing about with that now.
No, it's a mate. Listen, I kind of watch a lot of stuff, and I see like the subatomic level, like the kind of laws, like the laws that we know that rule the universe don't actually apply when you look at stuff. It's fascinating. And I think, so I'll ask you this, and I don't know if you'll know much about it, right? But a lot of people are kind of interested in this kind of darkness that's over Hollywood and stuff like that, right? There's a darkness that everybody's in. I don't know how much truth in it, but they talk about different realms, and there is evil entities and stuff like that. Would you believe, do you believe that? Do you think there's evil entities in different parallel universes and all that kind of stuff?
I think there's a spectrum, right? There's a spectrum of spirit, or even human beings, or there's a spectrum in anything, right? And I think it goes from what we would call bad to good, we'll say, right? So there's a whole variety of things in between. So I've experienced really highly evolved spirits, where you just know you're in the presence of a highly evolved spirit. And it was like overwhelming. An epiphany, all different things happening. I've had loads of epiphanies happen, believe it or no. And then I've experienced what I believe to be heavy, dark souls, right? So do I believe heavy, dark souls exist? Aye. It's like in this realm with us, you get good and bad people that, you know, excuse the language, but are bad bastards and people that are just, you'd stay in their company all day, you know, and they're the nicest people in the world. And they're usually the insignificant people that are like that, you know, the ones that keep the wheels going in the background. And so you have different variations of humans. It's the same in spirit. Right, I don't know anything about a darkness over Hollywood. I've not heard that. I don't know what that is, but it's possible.
Possibilities there. So I'm going to take you on to kind of like tarot and stuff now, right?
Okay.
And obviously how tarot cards work, how they link in, and what's the kind of, What are they? Like, what is the kind of basic function of the tarot system, Carol?
Okay, tarot cards are only, they're a tool, right? I'm sure you've all had a shot at a wee tool, Johnny. So tarot cards are a tool. It's just a tool to help you with your gift. The same as a crystal ball. You know, you get different tools. You get tarot cards, crystal balls, maybe all sorts of divination tools, right? Scrying, mirrors, you know, all different things. I can read anything. Anything, do you believe that?
Aye.
I'm just basically shifting my consciousness out. But tarot cards are a powerful tool.
Aye.
Tarot's a story. Mm-hmm. It starts off at zero, the full, mm-hmm. and then goes right through the pack. So it's like a person's journey, mm-hmm. right? So as each card comes out, I know what that card means to do with that journey. Mm-hmm. And so I would interpret that card, but I would teach tarot cards. Mm-hmm. You know, I would show you how to use tarot cards and what they mean. Anybody can do tarot. Mm-hmm. You just really need to have a good memory, right? Mm-hmm. But an order, I'm saying anybody can do tarot. I can get a set of tarot cards and play with them now, right?
Aye.
Anybody can do tarot. Mm-hmm. But in order to be a good tarotist, you've got to know what the cards mean. You've got mm-hmm. to feel the cards. You've got to interpret the cards. It's a lifetime's work, you know. Mm-hmm. Things change. For some people, tarot becomes real. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be like morph as you're using it. And I've seen that happen in my deck. And so I use a deck that's a bit more modern rather than the old traditional Aye. Deck. And so I would teach them as well, right? But tarot in the right hands is a good tool. Mm-hmm. And so it just helps me get to where I need to be, you know. But I don't need tarot to do a reading.
No.
Right? So it's like, there was one time in my place in Clydebank, in my office, and I was doing readings, and a woman came in, and she's like, can I book in for a reading? And I says, uh-huh. And I says, so she came along for her reading, and I says, look, I forgot you were coming because I didn't put you in the diary. I says, and I don't have my cards. I says, but I can do your reading. You don't actually need cards. I don't need cards, no. right? But people just assume that you're going to be sitting there with a set of tarot cards, and if you don't have the cards, you can't be doing a reading, right? So anyway, I gave her a reading, and I think I brought through her mum and dad or something like that, and she was crying and she was upset, right. and I was telling her what was going on within her life, and she's like, aye, and here's how you can help yourself, and blah, blah, blah. And I says, is that all right for you? She went, oh my God, that was amazing. That was amazing. And I says, thanks very much. And she says, can I come back tomorrow for a real reading? And I went, a real reading? And she went, aye, when you've got your cards.
Aye.
And I'm like, oh, aye, you come back tomorrow, right? Aye. So then she came back in the next day, and I just gave her a quick 5-minute thing. And she went, that's what you told me yesterday. I went, exactly.
It's not going to change.
She wasn't getting it, right? She wasn't getting the fact that I don't really need these cards. Tarot's just a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. So I can teach you how to use tarot, but in order to read them properly and to give really good readings, you need to be using your intuition. Right. So you need to be developing your own intuition at the same time as you're learning the tarot. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to be even better with that tarot, you need to be learning how to connect in with spirit or source.
So it's a lot of work then, Carol, isn't it? It's a big journey into it.
It's a lifetime.
Definitely a lifetime. It's a lifetime. Journey. Always learning.
Always to Aye. The day you die, because you know, people come in and they'll say, oh, I'll just do a wee course in tarot and I'll just do that and then I'll be able to do readings. You might be able to do readings, but you're shit.
Aye.
You know? And it's like, even the person I am today is totally different from the person I was 10 mm-hmm. years ago when I started, maybe a bit more on the stage, mm-hmm. right? So it's like night and day, mm-hmm. right? But we've all got to learn. Mm-hmm. It's like being a snooker player or that guy that's playing darts and how good's he that? Aye. I've been watching him. And it's like, as a child, he just played darts constantly. You know, he's had to learn that. He has a gift, but he still had to learn it and home mm-hmm. it in. You know, and for me, reading books, I've still, knowledge is power.
Definitely.
You know, knowledge is power. It's half the journey. And it's like, you read these books and it's like, nah, can I take that? Or, oh, that's good. Oh, that's a different way of looking at things. And so it helps you. Books mm-hmm. help you on your journey. So I've read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. I've made hundreds of mistakes.
Aye.
And I've learned from them. And I'm a shit hot poker player.
So see somebody like, take Dern Brown, right?
Okay.
So Dern Brown is a non-believer on the face of it.
I've watched him, aye.
I don't know how much he's a believer, but he certainly makes out that he's a non-believer. And he does readings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he does things that's quite fascinating in the way that you go, how's he doing that? That's exactly. So how would you kind of see a skeptic that says, ah, well, Dern Brown says that, what would you kind of say to that cat? And how would you kind of unbundle it, if you know what I mean, and just kind of...
I don't. People should just make up their own minds. You know, if you're a skeptic, well, and you come to one of my shows and I'm saying things that you think, oh, here, wait a minute, how does she know that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I can't be that consistent all the time, mm-hmm. right? So if I'm going to do a show and I'm getting 20 people a message and an audience, I don't know, 100, 150, and I'm getting 20 people a message, most of the people are coming back my next show.
Aye.
So if I'm shit, they ain't coming back.
Aye.
You know, or if I'm no good at what I'm doing, or people will no believe in what I'm doing, that venue won't invite me back.
And you're not going to enhance, if you know what I mean. You're not going to become the person the other
and
day.
The other thing is, I learn by my mistakes,
mm-hmm.
right? But being a skeptic is absolutely healthy. Mm-hmm. I love skeptics. Mm-hmm. I love it when people come in, right, and say things. And so, you know, every now and again, I have guys coming in. Guys are the biggest skeptics, right? All of a certain age and all, by the way. It's like they just stand there and I'll not mention this pub, right, but I'll tell you this. I went into a pub one time and it's one of the, anybody for this area will know what the pub is without me mentioning it. It's one of the toughest pubs in the whole of Govan, if not the toughest, right? And I've always had loads of confidence, right? Mm-hmm. So I walked into this hairy arsed man's pub in Govan, we'll say, right? Drinkers, like, full of gangsters and all that. And I walked in, there was 20 guys at the bar all drinking pints, staring at me walking in this pub. And I thought, oh my God, I'm in here to do a show. And the people that own the pub had paid me to come in because it's quite a rundown area, right? Mm-hmm. But the people are the salt of the earth and I just love them. And I had went into this pub. And for the first time, I think, my entire life, I felt a wee bit intimidated.
Aye.
And I'm like, oh, I've never walked into a hairy arse pub like this full of guys and I'm going to do a show in front of hundreds of guys like that. Because predominantly it's women,
right?
Although more men are coming to my shows now. There's loads of guys at my show the other night. And I was like, oh. And I says to her, I'm just going to get something out of my car and I'll be back in a minute. And she went, right. And the last day I'd met her at other venues and that's how she'd booked me. And I goes outside and I'm having a conversation with Spirit and I'm like, Spirit, it's a bit intimidating. I'm not going to kid you on. For the first time in my entire life, I feel a bit intimidated here.
Better back me up here.
As if one of the gangsters got to stab me in a minute, right? You better back me up. If I'm doing a show in here tonight, you better turn up and it better be fucking good, right? And I goes back in and I'm like, to the lassie, Lauren or something her name is, Laura. And I says, listen, I says, is there women coming here tonight? She went, oh, aye, there's about 50 tickets on a wee venue, something like that. And I went, all right, where are they? I says, there's like 25 guys in here, where's the woman? Oh, they'll be here for 7:30. I thought, all right then. So women did turn up, right? And so it was probably half and half, which is a lot for a show. And I'd done this pub, right? And there was a guy hackling me in the corner. And he keeps like, aye, a lot of shite, aye, nae bother, and all that. And he was like behind a glass partition. So I'm saying all this other stuff, and everybody's like, oh my God, that's amazing, because I'm just shooting them all down in flames, one after the other, like skittles, right? And I went to this guy, and he was stunned at the bar with a pint. He's like, aye, right, nae bother, a lot of shite. And I says, a lot of shite. I says, aye. I says, well, you're single. And he went, what? And I would never normally do this show on night, but they were just, I'd had enough by this point. I went, you're single? And he went, aye. I says, because your bird left you. And he went, what? And you could hear them all laughing. Oh my God, she's heard about you, right? I says, your bird left you and fucked off with your pal, is that right? And he's like, that way's pain. And it turns out to be true, right? So the guy that was, this was in this one pub, it turns out to be one of the best nights ever, right? Even though they're just the salt of the earth and I loved it really, right? So if they've been super intimidating, it turned out to be really good. So there's a guy sitting behind a glass partition, didn't he? Watch what I'm saying, maybe. And so he's kind of hackling me, right? And I says, you're sitting behind a glass partition that I can't see. I says, I'll get to you in a minute, like that, right? So you can hear them laughing, like, aye, no bother. So just before half-time, I says, right, that guy behind the glass partition, could they see him? Stood up, so he stood up. He was quite a good looking guy, actually, for Govan, to be fair, right? So he stood up and I went, all right. And he went, aye. I says, come here. And I had pulled out the tarot, talking about tarot cards. And I don't always use them at my show. MD's been at my show will know that I don't really, occasionally I do, but not really. I went, come here. And he went, what? And I was like, pull out three cards. So he pulled out three cards. And I can see it because everybody knows now. Apparently, they were talking about it for weeks in the pub. And I says to him, I went, oh. And he went, well, I went, oh, I know his name, but I'm not saying it, right? And I'm saying, you're going to jail. And he went, what? I went, you're going to jail. I says, you're getting 3 years shoved up your ass. I says, I know you've never been in jail before, have you? And he went, what? And he's like, with his pint. He put his pint down and he went into the toilet, right? And I'm shouting, make sure you don't bend down in there, not and watch yourself in the jail. You know, you'll be getting it. Watch that soap. And, you know, I'm just having a laugh at him because he was taking the piss out of me all night. And he comes back out and I'm like, and I says to him, all kidding aside, I says, you're getting a jail. And he went like that, and he sat down. He never said a word. I says, but I'll speak to you at half time. Mm-hmm. And he went, right, okay. I says, I'll tell you what's coming out the cards. Because I didn't want to pull it all out in public, right? But I could just feel it flowing. Mm-hmm. I think spirit were giving me because they were hackling me, right? That's just how it works sometimes. And he came out at half time. And I says to him, well, here's what I was getting. I says, you're getting 3 year. I says, you're getting 3 year for something you did in the day.
Right.
I says, you're taking the dairy for somebody else. And they went, yep, like that, right? I says, but you're about right, you'll only do a year and a half. I says, at the most, I says, but I do think you're getting the jail. And he went, correct, like that, right? So he took the dairy for somebody, right? He was a nice guy, right? I don't judge anybody. I need to go back and see if you go to the jail or what happened, actually, because I don't actually know, right? And so, in fact, I'll go back and see him, right? So I had said that, and at the end he came back in, he's like, Carol, can I have a word with you? And I went, aye. He says, and I had brought through somebody who'd passed and whatever else I had said to him, and he came in and he says, I just phoned my sister there and told her what he said, and she was greeting down the phone and that. He says, and I can't believe. He says, I went, oh, my best mate in the pub who were sitting with. And he says, I sat down, he says, and he's like, fucking colours drained out your face, are you all right? And I said his name again, and he went, aye. And he's like, what's she talking about? Is that a lot of shite you got to jail? What you got to jail for? And he went, aye, mate. And he went, what? And he's like, I get caught doing whatever I get caught doing. And he's like, I'm your best mate, and how do I know this? He went, I've no tell him, do.
Fuck's
sake. Right? So all this had come out, right down to what he'd done and who it was and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, he's like, Carol, I was a massive skeptic before I came in here the night. No anymore.
Aye.
He's like, but thanks. Aye. Right? And see, I had spoke to the lassie who runs the pub after it, and she's like, Carol, we're talking about that night for weeks.
Aye, everybody want you back.
Everybody want me back.
So Govan, she'll be back soon.
Aye, but Govan was like most intimidating place ever. But I handled it well, and it worked out well.
So we'll move on to your shows then, Carol, right? And obviously they're getting bigger, they're getting better. You're kind of getting that kind of UK-wide now, and you're really well-known now. How is that when it comes to... Because we've talked about how everybody's... everybody knows you when you're in your own area and stuff, but is it weird when you're kind of out now and people recognise you and stuff?
It's a wee bit surreal at times, right? Because up in Glasgow the other week, and I walked into a pub, and I was with my friend, and as I'm walking into this pub, somebody was like, oh my God, how you doing? My friend knows this person. He's like, oh, hi. And the guy leaned over him to grab me and went, oh my God, it's Carol McGee. And so my other pal's like, well, do you know her? And they're like, aye. And so like, he then introduced me to his other pal and says, oh, this is whoever. And he's like, I know, I'm on a Facebook page. And half the pub was on my Facebook page, I think, right? And so my pal, G's, looked that to me. Carol, do you not realise how well known you are? And I'm like, nah, no, really. And sometimes I'm out for dinner and stuff like that, and somebody will be serving us, and I'll be sitting with my family, and they'll be like, oh, Carol, how you doing? And I'm like, all right, aye. But I don't know. I was in Aldi 2 weeks ago. It's a true story, right? I was in Aldi with my daughter. And a lassie comes, she went, oh my God, Carol, how you doing? I'm like, all right, how are you? And I didn't know who it was, Sean. I really didn't, right? My memory's rubbish. I don't even kid on. And I went, I forget your name. What is it again? She went, you're at it. You know who I'm at. And I'm like, no, honestly, don't.
No, I don't.
And my daughter, she'd been like, wait, do our shopping or something. Like, my daughter came back, she's like, Mum, you don't know who that is. Sure you don't? And I'm like, no, no, get a clue. But the woman came back up and told me who she was, but I still can't remember who she was. Apparently she's one of my super fans on my page.
Need to get the wee diamond thing.
She's got one, I think. That's what she says, and I still can't remember. My memory is really bad. I don't know if it's because I work with spirit, and I give out so many messages, but the messages are no mine.
No.
So what's the point in me retaining it?
No.
You know, what do I need to remember what I said to you for? I'll probably not remember your name next week. You know, it's like, I can't remember
we've done that podcast. Like, no.
I know. You know, it's nothing to do with my age. You know what I mean?
Does it take a lot? It must take a lot of energy, yeah. Like when you're do you feel shattered after a show?
No, you're kind of on a high, right? You're on a high because you're lifting your vibration, you're lifting yourself, you're working in that spirit energy. So that spirit energy is running about you, is what I think.
Aye.
And so you're on a high, and so it takes me maybe an hour to come back down.
Mm-hmm.
after a show, I naturally bring myself down with just a cup of tea or something like that in the house when I get home and just chill out and watch a bit of Korean dramas. I watch Korean dramas.
Aye.
And I watch a bit of something on the telly and then I go to my bed.
So, see when you're... what's your favourite show been? What's like the show that stands out to you that you felt that you were just like in a different kind of...
There was one night, right, I'd done an experimental, I build it as this, because so everybody knew what was happening, right? So I want to develop into such a way that it's just pure spirit coming through, do you get me?
Aye.
And so I build a night as an experimental evening of mediumship, where I wanted to access spirit in a different way that I hadn't done before. And so... Have you heard of the Akashic Records?
Aye.
Well, I wanted to access the Akashic Records.
Is that Hindu? Well,
No. The Akashic Records
is basically every single memory, isn't
it? It's basically, in plain English, it's like a massive library, right? It's a record of every soul that's lived.
Aye.
So it's everything you've ever done, everything you're doing now, and everything you will do.
Mm-hmm.
So past, present, and future. And so I should be able to access the Akashic Records. Mm-hmm. Right, so I wanted to. I never told the audience what I was going to do, and so in my mind, I wanted to connect with spirit in a deeper level, like a semi-lucid state. So I would put myself into a semi-trance state. Do you get me? Where maybe I would allow spirit to come through me. And people said they'd seen my face changing and stuff like that.
Oh, did they?
So I was experimenting with that. So I had done a special night, like instead of the normal price of like $10 a ticket or something. Like that, but you knew. I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, but it's experimental. And so people had turned up to see that the place was sold out, it was packed, right? And so I allowed spirit to come in and blend with me. And I wanted to blend with spirit and access the Akashic Records. So in other words, I was allowing your loved ones who'd passed over to come through me. And I wanted to access these Akashic Records so I could tell you who was in spirit, who was here. Things you'd done in your life, things you'd seen. And so it made it more personal to you and it gave a lot more information. And that night went on for about 2 hours and people were coming up to me at the end of that. That's the best thing I've ever seen in my life. And folk that had been to see hundreds of mediums before were coming up and saying, Carol, I've seen your face changing. What were you doing? So at the end of it, I explained to people what I was doing. That was putting myself into a semi-trance state and I was accessing the Akashic Records. I didn't want to tell them what I was doing before I done it.
Aye.
In case it never worked.
No, I know, because obviously it's an experiment, so you could have been going in there and it could have fell kind of flat.
Well, it's like, you know, people are singers and stuff like that, they need to trial out their songs.
Aye.
You know, otherwise they'll fall flat in their face. I mean, Madonna just doesn't jump onto the stage and start singing like a virgin. She's probably sung it 100 times before she's been on that stage. Well, I need an audience to practice things that come into my mind. And so sometimes things are coming into my mind that I want to trial it. Right now it's quantum physics, right? And so I'm quite scientific and all sorts of things like that. And I always have been, so I want to try these new things. So, you know, even though I'm at a certain stage within my career or I'm at the top of the game, my game where I'm doing big shows and stuff like that, fair enough, I want to be better, right?
Of course.
I want to have better evidence. I want to have, you know, bring in more people, the person that you want, right, doing their national insurance number, you know, I want to do these things. And so I need to practice as well and I need an audience to practice on. But because I do so many shows, I'm constantly practicing and I learn by my mistakes. So if I've got something wrong, like that 5% you say to me, oh, Carol, this wasn't right, I'll go away and question myself. You know, I'm my biggest critic. Nobody needs to critique me. I'll critique myself. So after every show, I'll be thinking about my show on the way home while I'm driving. What did I get wrong? How could I have done it better? How can I make it better? Could I put that across in a better way? Was that cheeky there? Because I'd be quite cheeky, Sean, you know?
It's all tongue-in-cheek, but isn't it? Like you're funny, mate.
Well, but, my shows are worse, right? So it's like my shows are a skate on thin ice at times, you know? But I think I'm respectful, but I can be funny as well. So I've learned how to do that. You know, I've learned what I can get away
with.
And what I can get away with. It's like... it's like everything else, like playing darts. Aye. You know, you know what you've done wrong before if you kind of get three in a bed, and that's the aim for 180 each time. Aye. Or a nine darter. Mm-hmm. I want a nine darter mediumship, you know what I mean? I want to walk away and say, my God, that was amazing.
Aye. Right? Of course. I think anybody, like, we all strive to be the best version of ourselves, don't we? We all kind of strive to be. And I think I'll take you into this, Carol. I don't know how much you'll know, and it might be unfair to take you into this, but I'm quite big on kind of mental health.
Right, okay.
Addiction, stuff like that. It's all kind of something that I'm passionate about. Is there any way that kind of psychic stuff in that, and the way that you're talking about using spirit in that, is there any kind of way that people could, you could help people in that? And I know you have helped people, but maybe something that you could take into somewhere, like into prisons, into somewhere to kind of maybe help guys understand, or do you think that's...
I think people's thoughts are energy, right?
I believe that.
So if your thought is, you got up in the morning and your first thought is, where am I getting my next gram of kit for? Mm-hmm. Then you need to then change your thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. Because if your first thoughts is, where am I getting kit for? If you're an addict, right? As in heroin, right? In case somebody doesn't know what kit is. So if you're looking for your first hit of heroin in the morning and you're like, right, I need heroin. I'm going out, I'm getting ready, I need money, and when am I getting the money for? And so you're focusing on getting that heroin. So you need to then change your thoughts as you wake up in the morning to say, well, I know I'm thinking about heroin, but how can I change my thoughts? How can I change my routine? Mm-hmm. And once you start putting yourself into a different thought process, you start becoming something else, right? Because we are what we think.
I believe it's... awareness is a massive thing, and I think people's vibrational level is really low in these places, maybe prison and the schemes and stuff as well.
But that takes you back to A Course in Miracles, Rumi and Rumbi.
Totally.
So let's say prison's Rumi.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. No, I agree with you. The thing that we always come, the barrier we always face, right, when we speak to everybody is, how do we raise that awareness level in prisons? How do we get the awareness, or anywhere in Rumi? How do we do it? How do we put them into Room B? And sometimes when they go into Room B, Carol, they don't feel comfortable, if that makes sense, because it's no
that. It's like everything else. You would tell them, I'm taking you out your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come out your comfort zone? They don't want to do it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You can't just... Sean, I'm taking you out of Room A and I'm putting you into Room B. Fuck off, I'm not going into Room B. You know,
it's better, but it's not in my head, it's not better.
I know, I watch the here with my pals and the people that love me, but do they love you? Because they've just helped you, you're shite, and they're just giving you heroin. So do they actually love you, or they just want to make money out of you?
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
What, are they going to stab you in the back? When are they going to, you know, are they all out for themselves, or what they're doing? Do they really care about you? Or is it just lip service? So you need to start off there. And the other thing is, you need to know, judge people. So you need to say, do you know what? I understand that you're comfortable in there. You've been in there for 5 years. Why don't we try this? And here's why we want to try this. Because see, once you get into Room B, and I know it's uncomfortable, but see, once you get into Room B,
aye,
you might like it.
You flourish.
You might like it. You know, the Wi-Fi's better in Room B.
Aye.
You know what I mean? 5G. Tobacco's better in Room B.
Aye.
We give you a wee fag, but we kind of give you heroin, but we give you a wee fag, aye, you know, or maybe a wee joint or something like that, but no heroin.
Aye.
And so the mister gets a joint,
aye,
you know, something like that. Know that I'm condoning it, but you know what I'm talking
about. No, I know.
And so you need to kind of change it. So for some people, it's a gradual. For some people, the initial thing is dropping a thought in there. You know what, you're really missing out because the Wi-Fi is better in Room B. You know, and
plant
so you're just planting the seeds, and then you're going back and you're saying, well, why don't you come in and try it? Why don't you use it? We've got a free slot today.
Aye, you know, definitely.
Or we've got a spare bed today. Why don't you come in here? And so it's just planting the seeds, and then maybe trying the meditation, and then maybe trying to change your thoughts. Like, you wake up in the morning, you go, you know what, I know I want heroin, but I'm going to have a fag instead. And so it's just that one wee change. And once you've implemented that wee change, then you just put in another wee change.
Aye.
And then eventually it's a big change. So, you know, even what I do now started off with a wee change, like with playing poker, and before you know it, I'm on the stage.
Aye.
You know what I mean? From
definitely
playing poker.
Aye.
And so, everybody can change. You know, everybody can change. It's open to everybody. You're not stuck in with me. You can leave if you like. You know, you need to want to leave.
You do.
You know? But you're no stuck in that. You know, no. It's like, how many people do we know that's been addicts and absolutely smashed mm-hmm. it and came out and knew they're leading a good life?
So many.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they can do it, so can you. Definitely. You know, but you need to want to help yourself.
No, 1,000,000%. Couldn't agree more with you, Carol. So I'm going to just look at the kind of societal norms, right, around how it's became a bit more, maybe, I don't know if accepting is the right word, it's a bit more accepted than it was maybe with the other generations and stuff. And even if you look back, it was like witchcraft and stuff like that, do you know what I mean? So is it a good thing, Carol, or is it bringing in more fake people, or is it, do you know what I'm talking about? Like, so obviously there's a movement now where people are going, oh, I think there may be, in quantum physics and stuff has shown as different ways of life, but is that opening the gates for people that are kidding on?
Well, you're always going to get a few people that are kidding on, right? But the majority of people are not, you know, the majority of people are in it for the right reason. I think the world is lifting as we're going on to a different vibration.
Aye.
I think everybody mm-hmm. wants to be doing better. Everybody right now is looking for something else. They're looking for answers. You know, they want to be a better person. That's what I think. Obviously, you're getting odd one at Disney. Doesn't care where they are, right? Mm-hmm. But the majority of people that I come across want to be doing better. They want to improve their life or enrich their life. Not really so much, not always with money, but maybe they want a better health. Mm-hmm. They want a better outlook. They want to just be a nicer person. They want to help other people. Mm-hmm. Whatever their game is, you know, you can up your game.
Aye.
And that's something that's collectively happening throughout the world, because I think there's a lot of bad things happening in the world just now, you know, like wars.
Aye.
And, you know, there's a few wars that are kind of Middle East and all this and really bad, and we'll not get into that, right? But there's some right shit happening in the world right now, and there's a lot of people standing by and watching it happen. And it's like, so how do we change that? How do we get these people to listen and saying, you know, war's not the answer? And so I think there's a massive movement where people are like striving to like get people and trying to get governments to listen. Mm-hmm. And the only way they're going to get them to listen is by voting them out.
I know.
And that's what's happening. They're going to vote them out.
I know. No, I agree with you. I think that there is a massive movement, and the people are starting to get a wee peek behind the veil, I think, of what governments are capable of and stuff like that. And I'm just saying, no, now, don't stop doing all this stuff in our name as humanity. We don't want this. Most humans, if you read, don't want this stuff happening, do you know what I mean? But the kind of small minority, it's always the same, isn't it? That kind of elite level of people are able to kind of pull the strings in society. So as we're just kind of coming up near kind of the end, Carol, right? I would like, it's interesting to kind of just talk about where you see yourself going and where do you see that kind of future projecting? Where do you see Carol McGee in 5 years?
I've never really thought about it. I don't always think too far into the future, but long term, I would still like to be doing what I'm doing, right? Only better.
Aye.
Right? So we all strive to be a better version of ourselves. So right now I'm getting into quantum physics, I'm getting into manifestation. So I'm manifesting a lot of stuff and that's working out. And so I'm kind of lighting manifesting right now. And so not just material goods, like situations, things that's happening with myself. Maybe I want to finish my book, you know.
Oh, so what's it? Right. Pause. What's happening? What's the book?
Well, I'm probably about 7 chapters into a book, but it's not a book about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not an autobiography or anything like that. It's a fiction book. Is it a fiction book?
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of the stories I've told you are absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories that will come in to the book are some of my stories, real things that's actually happened, are going into the book. And people might read the bits and go, oh, that's a lot of shite. That must be made up. But it's the truth, right? But so the bits that they think is probably true, isn't it true? And so it's a fictional book, and the devil's in it and all. Although I don't believe the devil exists, by the way, right?
In the book,
the devil has a 6-pack. So we'll say it's a spiritual love story.
Aye. Looking forward to that. Have you any name, or are you just still juggling a bit?
No, I'm still juggling a bit with it, right? So I don't actually know what I'm going to call it, but it's set in Ireland.
Set in Ireland.
Set in Ireland. And the devil's bad.
The bad man.
But it looks good. You know, so, it's like that.
I've just finished writing a book as well. My book was called Authenticity and Chaos, and it's right. actually just about how you can be your authentic self in prison. Right. And it was my journey through prison, and it was like how different things happened and all that. So I understand it's like people, how you do that, and there's aspects of that book that were true and stories that happened, and like, you don't see names and stuff, but again, it's like, so no, it's quite good, but I'll be looking forward to that. So see, it's just as you were talking about manifestation is something that I fully believe in, right?
Right.
Obviously, you've got The Secret and you've got the kind of opening kind of books, but it goes deeper than that. Mm-hmm. I think people read The Secret and then go, right, I want a Porsche, and it's like they think there's going to be a Porsche next day. Do you know what I mean? When that isn't the way it happens, you need to believe, visualise. There's a lot. It's actually really hard work. You told me quite a good story. I don't know if you want to tell us about
it. On you go.
about how you were able to manifest stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, I produced a vision board, my vision board. I teach vision boards and stuff like that as well. So my first ever vision board.
MD can do this. MD can manifest if they put
anybody
the work
can, but you need to work it. There's a way totally. Of working it, right? So my first ever vision board, I put on it. I want a villa in Cyprus. I want an Audi TT convertible. I want to be earning X amount of money a year. I want to be on the stage. What else was in it? But different things, aye. Right? I'm trying. Or a business in Clydebank, whatever. I was looking for premises. And I balance my board, and that's what makes my board different. So on my other side of my board, I have part A and B. Right. I would say, you know, I'll be doing healing, I'll be giving back, I'll be helping people, whatever I'll be doing. Maybe getting a charity, whatever your thing is. And just to test the theory that the universe will give you absolutely anything, you fling in something so obscure that you think that'll just not happen, right? So my obscure thing was, and I want Brad Pitt to come to Erskine, because I live in Erskine, which is next to Glasgow Airport, if you don't know. And so my obscure thing was, Brad Pitt, come to Erskine. There you go, that'll never happen. So let's be working this vision board. And so I get absolutely every single thing in that vision board, apart from one thing.
And then Brad came.
And then Brad came to Erskine. He stayed in Mar Hall. So usually when I'm teaching things about vision board, I say, I get absolutely everything on there apart from one thing. They're like that. Brad Pitt, I went, oh no, he came to Erskine. But that taught me a lesson. So that taught me to be precise about what I'm putting on my vision board. So I said I want Brad Pitt to come to Erskine, which he did. He stayed in Mar Hall, which is Erskine Hospital, or the old Erskine Hospital. I should have been more precise and says I want him to be walk along the road and chat my door, or I want to bump into him naked or something like that. I'm not really sure. So I should have said something like that, right? And so my next one will have that, you know. So my next one
His second visit will be walking naked down to Carol McGee.
Aye. Do you know where Carol lives? And so, by the way, my first ever manifestation, I was talking to Paul earlier on, right? So my very first visualization, right? My boy was a massive Still Game fan. Massive.
Aye.
At 5 and 6 year old, he used to watch it. He could recite it. You know, he loved it. Thing with the pish pot and all that. You know, that he just loved it. And he's like to me, Mum, I want to meet them. And I'm like, all right, okay. He's like, can you get me to meet them? And I'm says, I'll try, Brian. But I never really thought about it. I thought, I don't actually know how. If they're going to be somewhere one time, or I know they're filming somewhere, I'll turn up. And I had says to Spirit, or Source, or whatever you call it. And I had says to Spirit, I don't know how you're going to do it, but going to get my boy to meet the guys who are Still Game, right? And at the time, I had a cafe in Paisley, and I kid you not, Paul Riley Winston walked into my cafe and says, can I speak to Carol McGee? Walked right in. And so my cafe was a cafe in Deer Green Place. So Ford Kieran, Winston, they were all in it. Brian met them all, and he got his photos taken with them. He was like a superstar in the local papers for the day. That was my first ever manifestation. They just walked right in.
Mental.
Isn't it?
It's actually to the extent where, I mean, I've done it, I've spoken about it before on here. I've done it when I was in Castle Huntley. I kind of manifested a hawk that took, obviously I believe it manifested. My pals didn't, they were slagging me, but I did tell him before it. I says, it'll be a hawk, I'll take a bird out the sky, and you never see that. Like, you don't, I've never seen it. It's only once I've ever seen it. And we're walking around the exercise yard, next thing, boof, right out the sky. And my pal went, "Oh, you're going to say that was you that done that." I went, "Well, what is it?"
I know.
Tell me another way. I said, "I'm not me."
It's but, like my boy's dead psychic. He says to me the other night, you know how when Celtic were playing Motherwell yesterday, you probably might have seen it. We'll not get to that, right? But he's like, at me, he and mum. Blair Spittle's his pal, by the way. They went to the same school, brought up together, so we met him last week when he was out, and he's like, "Here, by the way, Blair Spittle's going to hang me the first goal, he's going to score the first goal." I says, "I'm going to put a bet on." So he was out with me the night before, and I said, "You put that bet on then?" I said, "Because he just scored." He's like, "Mo, I forgot."
Oh,
and then, but he's like, he tell everybody in the works, he says, "Blair Spittle," he said, "I just seen him scoring the first goal."
Aye.
And so everybody in his works mentioned him, like, "Brian, did you put that bet on?" He's like, "Nah, I forgot." He's quite intuitive and all, aye.
So obviously just coming up to the end, Cara, what have you got on coming up? Like, you can obviously tell the viewers what's your next stage. Are you going to, like, what's your social media stuff, and what you're moving into different elements? Where can we find you, Carol?
CarolMcGeePsychic.com. That's where all my shows are. That's where you can get all the tickets. Loads of shows coming up. I'm absolutely inundated right now. I'm probably a wee bit too busy, but I love what I do, so I'm no complaining. But I'm going to start doing podcasts.
Aye,
and social media stuff.
Aye, don't get me on then.
So, who are you? But I am going to start doing things like that when I come back for holidays. And obviously, I'm getting into quantum physics and manifestation, and that's kind of what I'm playing about with now. So that's probably what I'll be playing about with for the next year or so. So beyond that, I don't know what I'm doing, apart from a few holidays and stuff like that. But show-wise, I just love what I do, and I just want to continue doing that. And I'll maybe do a few more courses, you know. So I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff on the internet, like courses that people are looking for, that, you know everybody has the time to go away and maybe, or affordability to go away for a week and do a week's course. So I'm going to bring a lot of it online, because there's not a lot of information out there about what I do, like constructively or easy. I explain things easily, I think. And so I'm going to be putting courses online as well.
So kind of like a strategic course, maybe how to manifest different things like that. Brilliant, Carol.
TikTok, I'm going to be doing a lot on TikTok and all.
I've actually just started doing TikTok.
Well, that's what I need to get in it, because I've been lazy with my socials. And so I do have a lot of followers on social media, which I'm glad of. But I'm starting to get into the TikTok way of thing, because a lot of people are just moving, migrating on TikTok.
TikTok's great, but it's hard. Like, I've only started doing it as well on your Instagram, and you're like, you're looking at things and you're going, how's it working there and it's not working there? But do you know what I mean? It's so weird. It's like a mind.
I think we all just need a poll, don't we?
Aye, we all do need a poll. So I'll just move on to the kind of last bit, right? With some viewer questions, right?
Okay.
So the first viewer question is from Sheridan, and it says, what do you think about past lives and how is it connected to your current life, and do we need to go through certain trials in life due to past from mistakes?
I think so. I think we can learn from our past, right? So I think we're connected. You know, in my mind, the soul's multifaceted, and we come back time and time again to learn things. You know, you could come back as a woman one time, or come back as a man another. You can come back as maybe a child that dies young, you know, all different things like that. Do we learn from them in another life? I think you can. There's a book called Many Lives, Many Masters, and that's a phenomenal book on this subject, right? And, you know, that teaches us things like, you know, sometimes people have got a fear of things. And for instance, you have a fear of water. I'm making that up. You don't, right?
Aye.
But you have a fear of water, and you may have drowned in a past life. So then you need to have a fear of water, so you would learn not to fear that water, and so you would talk about what happened.
Aye.
And so that's a big subject.
Aye. Is that for another time, a full podcast?
That's a full podcast in itself, because, you know, I've been transgressed. I've been taken into a previous life. In a previous life, I was a lady. And the funny thing is, I was regressed by somebody that's well known in the field. He's wrote a lot of books and stuff like that. And so he regressed me. In a previous life, I was a lady, obviously.
Aye.
Right? And in that previous life, my daughter married above her station.
Aye.
And so you learn life lessons what was the lesson of that journey? What was the lesson in that life? And so I think if we are maybe have 50 lives, we have a lesson in every mm-hmm. life. And in that life, although I never seen my husband, I knew I was married to the same person. And I had said to him, you know, I knew I was married to the same person, but I never seen you. I said, so I was married to you in a previous life. And he went, oh, that's dead nice. And I went, what? I says, I can't believe I've made the same mistake twice. And he's like, ah, bitch. Aye. But you know, it's like, so I think we've got lessons to learn. Aye. And I've, some people have different lessons. The lesson for me in that life that I had regressed back to, I don't know what the lesson was, because I had a nice life and I was happy with my life. Mm-hmm. And so that was just a nice life. And so I didn't have a bad thing to aye. Say about that.
So the second one's what is David, who basically said, how do you deal with skeptics, Carol? And can it be annoying at times when that's no kind of like if you're no getting through to them, or how do you deal with skeptics?
I've never no get through to a skeptic. If skeptics come to my shows and they're in the audience, they tend to be sit quiet. Right. Aye. But the only time you get skeptics is online, when, like cardboard gangsters, I call them, when they're aye. Hiding behind the
use
keyboard.
A 1, 2, 3, 5, 6.
And they're telling you, oh, you're shite, you're talking shite and all that, you know, you're all shite, charlatan. Aye. And you're like, aye, okay. But you know, as I say to you time and time again, you know, being a skeptic is healthy. So when people come to my show and they see what I've got to say, then make up your own mind, you know. But I think I don't mind skeptics. I love skeptics. And the majority of them are shot down.
Aye.
I kid you not, they're shot down.
So you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. I love it. I love a good skeptic.
And the last one is Sarah, who says, I've always been curious about psychic abilities, but I come from a religious background that views it with skepticism. How can I reconcile my interest in psychic phenomena, but also have my religious beliefs?
Okay. Well, you know, I'm not religious, but I can quote the Bible. And so my mum was a born-again Christian. I was brought up in Christianity, Catholicism.
Jesus was a manifester.
Well, that's
really?
What I think. I think Jesus was a medium. Aye. And I bet I'd watch what I'm saying and I'll be getting carted down right here. But I think there's a place for everything. You know, so when people come to say to me, oh, you're talking to spirits, that's no good. You shouldn't be doing that. And well, if you believe your Bible, in John 1, chapter 4, it says, if you work through love and light, in other words, if you work with a good heart, you are to test the spirits to make sure they are from the light. Mm-hmm. So I just see it as I'm testing the spirits, and I can tell you if they're from the light or not.
So that you can, there's actually parts in the Bible that you use.
You know, the Bible contradicts itself in so many parts. Aye. You know, my pastime, believe it or not, is to research the Bible. When I'm not working and I'm just doing stupid things, I research the Bible. Do you know there's two books of Revelations?
No.
Wait, oh, there's another book of Revelations.
I know there's a Gospel of Judas.
Oh,
Judas,
my God, there's the Book of Mary as well, that isn't in the Bible, Magdalene, right?
I've never read it, but I've seen
right,
it.
So that book's there, but there's two books of Revelations. You know, Revelations are mad because the world's come to an end and
so
we're all going to burn in hell.
And it's like a spaceship or something. I don't know. It's,
anyway, there's lots, right? Aye. So there's another book of Revelations with just as many good stories in it. And so I like to read about where all these books came from. So the Bible is just basically man-made. You know, 20 guys sat around a table with 100 books and says, right, we can only put 40 of these in the Bible. Which ones are we discarding? So they discarded the other book of Revelations and put in one Revelations. They discarded the Book of Mary and maybe put in Ruth or something like that, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and discarded loads of others. So, you know, there's different sides to the Bible.
No, definitely.
That's what I think.
So I always just give the guest the last wee message, Carol, right? So just a wee message, and I always try and get a wee positive message for maybe somebody out there that's struggling, or like somebody that's maybe watching this, it's maybe poor mental health, whatever. Like, and I know it's kind of hard for people to do it, but just a wee message, if you can, for somebody out there that's kind of struggling and maybe watching, and some you can a bit of advice that you could give them.
Well, I think just to quiet your mind, meditation is something that's really good for everybody. Take it back to the breath, learn breathing exercises. This is all things that's available on YouTube. Doesn't cost you any money. You know, sometimes people struggle to meditate because they've got so much going on within their mind. Some people can learn to meditate within a week. Some people can learn to meditate within 6 months. Some people might take them 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I've taught meditation for a long time and everybody's different. So it's like, be kind to yourself, give yourself time, persevere, and so meditation will be really good for you and you don't realize it, and it helps quieten the mind, and it's the beginning of your journey.
Definitely.
It's definitely. Like open to every soul.
Aye.
All the bad ones too, all the good ones, and all the in-between ones, you know, it doesn't discriminate. So I went try it. Brilliant. That's what I think.
So thanks, ladies and gentlemen, everybody. Carol McGee.
Nice. Brilliant. To speak to you. Thanks.